Hello and welcome back to the second hour of Eye on the Ball here on 1030 KVOI. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. And let's go to the phone line right away. We have Bennett Davison there. Are you there?
Steve, I'm here. Wait, just waiting for you.
Oh, great. Good to hear from you. Glad to talk to you. I want to say thank you for coming on with us here and then coming to visit us in September for the Lute Olson Fantasy Camp. A lot of fun.
Steve, whenever you request something, I'm there for you. You've always been awesome to us. It's always good to hang out with you.
Great, thank you. You were a blast. Usually, typically for the camp, all the guys come in and have a great time. And you even got on the court and played. You still have it.
Oh yeah, it was actually our team, and we were down. I think we were up 20-4, and it's one of those fantasy camps, so there's more missed layups and knee braces and.
Ben Gay.
Running out of wind and stuff.
You're right.
Oh, Ben Gay all day, every day. And, I had to step in and play for the other team. And so I brought the team back to like 26-24, and then I went back and played for my team. So it was fun out there.
Smart man. I know that when I posted this that you would be on the show, you got a lot of likes, a lot of people. What's up with Bennett? What are you doing these days?
I'm in Dallas, Texas. In 2015, I was in Sacramento, California, just north of east of San Francisco. And I signed paperwork to have my daughters move and the ex-wife move down to Dallas. And the schools were better down here in Highland Park, University Park. And I followed them in pursuit 2 years later. And I'm down here with my three daughters. They're 11, 13, and 16. My oldest daughter, Maya, was a freshman last year, and she plays for Highland Park High School. They were ranked first in Texas and third in the nation for soccer, high school soccer, and she started as a freshman, so I'm proud of her.
I've seen some of her work, yes. My son played soccer and went to college to play, and I've seen her play. She's very, very good, has a lot of talent.
Oh, she makes running look, yes, effortless.
Well,
athleticism and long legs running the family.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, there was some guy I remember doing that back in the day. The human pogo stick, as I called you.
Exactly.
How long have you been removed from playing pros?
I retired in end of 2010, 2011. It was just one of those things that my daughters were in school and they needed to be, stateside. And I was just finishing off those three or four years. And it was just kind of like one of those, one of my high school friends, Tom Quarter. He says he played a little bit of Dodgers pro league and said, either the game leaves you or you decide to leave the game. And hopefully you can plan ahead and make the right decision on when that time comes. So, professional athletics allows you to do things that a lot of people dream of, and the ability to be able to do that for 12 years. I'm blessed to be able to stay semi-injury free.
Right. Did you? I know you were all over the world. Did you learn a few languages while you were around the world?
Yeah, I played with Joseph Blair in Milan, so I picked up Italian. Mm-hmm. And then my second year, I picked up Australian, so that was pretty easy to learn. And then, pretty much Italian. I learned all the swear words in Croatian and Serbian, so I can cuss with the best of them. But other than that, a lot of the teammates that are over there and the coaches can understand the basketball lingo, and they speak English also.
Right.
Since ages of 12 and 13, they've been speaking English.
So in the 30-some shows I've done so far, I've had Bibby on, I've had A.J. Bramlett on. We joked a little last week. Did you listen to the show?
No, you just sent him. I've actually, my brother got too political, and he's from San Francisco and Berkeley, so he got too political, so I turned all my Facebook notifications off.
That's funny.
And
Go ahead.
So I just started turning the notifications back up and creating these little podcasts and getting reattached with people via Facebook.
That makes sense, because I hadn't seen you on Facebook a whole lot. That totally makes sense now. I get it. So
yep,
we joked about you. How could we not? I mean, come on, all the things that you did with the U of A. Tell me first, and we'll get to a couple of those. I'm sure you have more. But can you reflect on the career you had here at U of A specifically?
Well, I just remember, and kind of one of the cool things that I had brought up and wanted to have Coach Olson be the first one to know is, when he came and recruited me at West Valley Junior College in San Jose, California, I remember him coming into my living room with Coach Rosborough, Jim Rosborough, and Coach Jesse Evans. And he was sitting there and he was twirling his Pac-10 ring around. And he says, one of the best things besides us being sponsored by Nike and getting shoes and all that cool stuff, that's what high school kids and college kids, junior college kids care about, is we always have a Wildcats Forever program. And a lot of our players go overseas or to the NBA and don't have a chance because we're in the NCAA. And, you know, you're really missing those last 5-6 weeks of the school year, so you may have to withdraw for some classes. So just last year, I had reached out to Jennifer Muse and Treya Allen in the academics area of the Wildcats athletics, and I finished off my bachelor's degree. So they 20 years later, I'd finished off my bachelor's. It was like 6 or 8 classes that I needed to finish, upper division, and I just knocked that out in August.
To get your what degree?
I just got bachelor's, just for general education type stuff.
That your degree, general education?
Yeah, so I'm doing my Texas teacher certification.
Oh, okay.
I have a youth basketball program, helping out with a good friend of mine, you know, just giving back, girls and boys, skills and drills, games and tourneys, on the weekends and evenings and stuff like that, just staying connected with the youth in the community.
Oh, okay, cool. And so Dallas will be your stomping grounds for a while.
Dallas is a good city.
Yeah,
I enjoy it down here. It's been good to me.
I moved from there to Tucson back when I was just out of college. It was a great time to be out there. So let me ask you, so your time reflecting just with the guys now in terms of being buddies, friends, or whatever you were in the 97, 98 years?
Yeah, one of the things is Sacramento was, you know, back in 2001, 2002, you could look in the Bay Area and you could move out to Sacramento and get twice the house for half the money, just pretty much like everybody throughout the United States. And me and Mike Bibby, he was playing for the Sacramento Kings,
yeah.
And we ended up moving pretty much like 2 blocks away from each other. So we have daughters around the same age, so we had birthday parties together. I've always been really close with Joseph Blair as a networker. You know, you have different teammates that come in and out of your lives, and some are really into keeping communications in contact, and some go off and do their own thing, and you kind of catch up when you have the ability to be able to do that. A.J. Bramlett's always been a good communicator and contact. He came out to visit Dallas and had his boys out there in the gym running around and played with Joseph Blair over in Milan, things of that nature. So, we all get older. I just turned 43 years old, and people are in their 40s. And one of the best things was during that fantasy league back in August is, you know, whether it be Ben Davis, and he left and I came in, or Craig McMillan over in, who's coaching at the Santa Rosa Junior College. We all come back, and it's like we all were on the floor at the same time. But what Coach Olson has done is he's created this family, and whenever he's in a town, he always reaches out, and one of his favorite things to do is really just be in the locker room and chat and be around his sons. I mean, that's what Coach Olson has done. He's brought a very family-oriented organization throughout the decades.
Right, right. Let's talk about one episode, and then we'll come back after the break and talk about more. But when you messed with Lute's hair, was that spontaneous?
I don't know. I tend to act before I think. I mean, that's part of my insecurity.
Yes.
I think that's kind of the creativity of athletes. It was actually Josh Pastner's, John Ashes, and I think it was Gene Ederson. I think actually Gene was on the floor. And we're just like,
it might have been Jason Lee. Maybe Jason Lee was there too.
It might have been Jason Lee. He was, we were all just like, we got to do something. We may actually win this game. And, you know, we're up 6 free throws. It's not close. And then we hit a 7th one. We only had a few seconds left. And so I was like, Josh, you got to go mess his hair up. And Josh says, no, man, you know, Josh, he doesn't even drink soda back in college. And John Ash was like, I'm a walk-in. There's no way. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this. And it was one of those things is I see players, you know, Miles, he tucks the ball down underneath. He collapses on the floor. And Josh runs out across the floor, as we've seen in those videos 1,000 times. And I was like, okay, well, here we go. And it was just one of those things that I don't remember it, but I remember it because I'm on video.
Right.
You know, it just happened so fast. There's so much chaos. And we had a little sliver of Arizona fans and ran over to mom and gave my part of my net to my junior college coach. And I said, I wouldn't be here without you. He still has that piece of the championship net. And those are the things that, you know, it's the people that got you there. You know, if you say you did it alone, that's not true. You know, everybody has a support group, a family, a network, and I'm just glad I got to share that moment with the people that helped get me there.
Well, anybody who saw the game and saw the post game knows that, because that was one of the biggest moments of the tournament for, you know, post tournament. Because and we all know Lute's hair was like immaculate for all these years.
Oh, it was pristine. It was like the Statue of David. It's, you know, the The art is in there. You just got to be able to remove the stone around the masterpiece.
Right, right. Hey, let's go to break. Come back and talk about more funny stories that you were part of at U of A. I'm sure they have to be clean. Remember this. We're on the radio, Bennett.
Most definitely. You were good kids.
Okay, great. Thanks.
She stood there bright as the sun on that California coast. He was a Midwestern boy on his own.
Lexus of Tucson announces the newest arrival to its crossover family, the UX Urban Explorer. With a starting MSRP of just $32,000, the UX offers numerous active safety features and Apple CarPlay as standard features. The UX has the best turning radius, highest MPG, and lowest cabin noise of any crossover in its class. Get details and see it now at Lexus of Tucson. Experience amazing. Speedway in Columbus and at the Auto Mall.
Hey there, sports fans. Everyone knows that pizza is a game day tradition, and Tino's Pizza has been feeding fans across town for 34 years. Family owned and operated, Tino's has your game day covered, from scratch made pizzas to wings. You can dine in or swing by for pickup, and delivery is available too. For game day and every day in between, Tino's Pizza is ready to serve at 6610 East Tankerverde Road. Call them at 296-9656 or check out their menu today at tinospizza.com.
When we started Sun Street Mortgage in 2005, our goal was to create a local mortgage company that would treat our clients like family and friends. Now it's many years later, and we've had great success. Today we have offices throughout Arizona and the Southwest. Even though we've grown, we have clients that are family and friends forever. Call us today at Sun Street Mortgage at 547-2400 if we can be of any help to you. Sun Street Mortgage, take the street that leads you home.
AZBK number 0907366, NMLS number 145171. Sun Street Mortgage LLC is an equal housing lender.
Hello there, this is Nat King Cole, wishing you all a happy and a Merry Christmas.
The joy of living is in the giving. So let's give lots of toys for tots. Toys, toys, toys for tots. Some have too many, some haven't any. If those who have, give those who haven't. Oh, what a Christmas day. The Marine Reserve will help you, will help you fill your sleigh with lots and lots of toys for tots. So give a little toy today.
Since 1947, the United States Marine Corps has been helping Santa fill his sleigh, making happier holidays for deserving children right in your community. Go to toysfortots.org and learn how you can make a difference.
Hammer Time!
Hammer Time is a program dedicated to helping you have a healthier, more comfortable, livable house, living space, and workspace. Get your questions answered about remodeling, construction, paint, electrical, plumbing, air conditioning, property rental, and management, and anything that gives you a better house, building, work, or play space. It's Hammer Time. Sundays 2 to 3.
Hammer Time!
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on Tucson.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. This is 1030 KVOI, Trusted News and Talk. I'm on the phone with former U of A player Bennett Davison, part of the national title team in 97. Wanted to talk to you about some of the funny stories that I know. I'm sure there are tons that I do not know. But we were talking with AJ last week about something that you would not be able to do today because of the flight restrictions and the conveyor belt in Oregon.
Oh, yeah. Bend, Oregon or something. We were playing Oregon State. And if anybody's flown in there, it's just a tiny little airport. It's more like an old liquor barn or something. And there was a little conveyor belt, and we were just waiting for these bags, and it was 20 minutes had gone by, 25 minutes, and I was just like, you know, we're college students. We're only making a couple hundred dollars and got to pay rent and eat pizza and from Peter Piper Pizza and stuff like that. And Coach Johnson says, hey, why don't you go on the conveyor belt? I'll pay you $9. You know, what kind of influence are these coaches giving us, the young kids? You know, we're manipulated by money. And then Mike Bibby says, hey, I got $5 for you. And then AJ says, I got $7. I was like, hey, that's 2 weeks. That's a 2 days worth of meals. And says, hey, why don't you just our bags are at.
We're losing you. Something's going in and out.
Oh,
are you driving through the valley there, Bennett?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, yeah. So you're getting money from the guys and
yeah, getting money from the guys, and they sat there and said, "Hey, why don't you go check on the bags back there and see what's going on?" And remember, this is only like one conveyor belt. That's so I just got on the conveyor belt into those little heavy tire flaps, walked back there, and there was nobody out there. It was kind of cold and rainy and stuff, and Oregon, that's what it does best. And then all of a sudden, I see the cart coming. And I come back out, and there's a cop or like a police, the airport patrol. Excuse me, sir, can you come with me? And obviously, I've been out there for like a minute and a half, 2 minutes. And the coach was like, hey, you got to mess with them. Pretend like you're arresting them. So I was like, hey, sir, could you come with me? You know, that's a federal offense. If you read these signs, these cautions, do not go back here. This is what, 97, 98, somewhere around.
Yeah, 97, 98, yeah.
Before 9/11. And I was just like, oh, no. And the messed up thing is they never even paid me my money. So that's the worst part about it.
Well,
he just kind of held. He kept it going for about 30 seconds, started laughing. Everyone started laughing. So it was some good entertainment. Those are the things that the fans don't get to see, but the coaches and the players all get to experience just silly moments that just kind of keep the camaraderie going.
Right, right. No, well, you were one of those goofy guys and loved being that goofy guy.
Yeah, I mean, there was another time we went to the zoo was doing a fundraiser, and we had the news there. We had a couple people, some restaurants and stuff, and it was a nice Tucson, Arizona night, and one of the producers came and said, hey, we need a player that can make the sounds of a gibbon, a mating call of a gibbon. And then Coach Ross says, I got the player just for you. And when I grew up in Six Acres, we had peacocks. So they have this high-pitched kind of that you can hear. Peacocks can kind of call or make their calls heard, for a mile around. And I got the Coach Ross says, hey, I got the player for you. And so I get up on stage, and we're doing the gibbon call. And I ended up getting second place. The only reason I did had the best and most accurate gibbon call. But one of the guys had more sponsors than he had people there that gave more money, so he ended up winning. But I truly felt like I was supposed to be the winner that day.
Well, welcome to the real world. It's all about the more sponsors and the more money.
Exactly.
What else? There's been a lot of different things. I mean, you had a bunch of cut-ups. One specifically was Jason Terry. How was that? How was that relationship?
I actually lived with Jason Terry. My first year there, I was with Miles Simon and John Ash out at Star Pass. And then the second year was me, Jason Terry, and AJ Bramlett in a new little apartment complex built. JT is one of those guys that just, I don't know, he's got an attractive personality. He's always smiling. He's always positive. He comes from a big family, so he's always been the main entertainer.
Yeah.
No specific things that really kind of stand out, but, just with, the longevity that Jason Terry's had. He's actually here in Dallas. But, he's probably one of the best characters on the team. That was the guy that would just keep the game, keep the talking going, keeping the conversation, the guy that would actually have everybody on all 20 people on the bus laughing.
Right.
Not with his antics, but just his charm, his wit, his personality, that type of stuff.
Yeah, his one-liners every now and again. I asked AJ.
His one-liners and just his personality is just who he is.
I asked AJ to describe. I gave him, give me a one-liner on these guys. Let me do the same for you. We all think of Miles as being this guy, very serious. Was he always serious? He never really kind of cracked jokes.
By no means. By no means. He's one of those guys that he's I'd say that Mike Dickerson was probably the quietest guy.
Yes.
He was a guy that's in the locker room, and he's like, where's Mike D? He's like sitting right next to you, but he never talks. But he's always a guy that sits there and chuckles and under his breath and real quiet. But Miles was also like that puts on the perception of, high basketball IQ, team leader, so he had to make certain choices just on the things you do. But one year we were just kind of like a Friday night. We might have had Thanksgiving or something, couldn't go home, had done with practice. And me, John Ash, and Miles were just like, let's go do something silly. So we all got in the car, and Miles comes out of the bedroom. He's dressed in short shorts, high socks, a weightlifter's belt, a wife beater, some like construction hat. It was just a terrible outfit. And he's like, let's go get some dinner. He's like, you're not going to wear that outfit, are you? He's like, yeah, why not? So we go down to Peter Piper Pizza or some Taco Bell or something. He walks in, and we are, me and John are just giggling and laughing. He walks in like he owns the place. But it's those little things where it's like, hey, we're bored. We're college kids. You know, we're 21, 20 years old, stuff like that. But he had me and John Ash rolling. I mean, we were just embarrassed as all outside to be able to be seen with him, even though he was the all-star of Tucson.
Right, right. Right, and the good kid was Josh. He was the, you know, the mama's boy guy. Tell me tell me about him.
Oh, Josh, he came in, and he, you know, the first time I had met him, and he's kind of introducing himself to everybody, and we had, I think we had, the moms and dads were dropping us off, and the girlfriends, you know, were hugging and kissing them goodbye, and stuff like that, and Josh comes up to me, he's like, hey, Bennett, I just want to let you know that I think your girlfriend's probably the most attractive by far. She's just really attractive. Like, oh, Josh, so you hit. And, you know, he's never drinking soda. He's always
right.
going in. One thing that I guess he was rooming his first year with Mike, Bibby, and Gene, whether that be the freshman or sophomore year. Mike comes into the locker room and says, Josh, stay out of my dang room. He's like, what do you mean? He's like, if I leave my lights on, I don't want you to go turn my lights off in my room. He's like, but that's just wasted energy. He's like, no. Do not go into my room. You know, Josh is doing dishes, and is, you know, with Gene, he was kind of a, say, bro, don't be messing with me, kind of the enforcer guy.
Right,
you know,
right.
Mike was the kind of the silent guy who just sits there, and, you know, he's running the point guard on the team, but he's also a young freshman and who carried himself very well. But Josh was one of the guys that it was a great year, great 2 years for him that while I was there, for him to come out of his shell. He was always a guy that says, you know, I wrote letters to every Division I coach
right.
asked them if I could learn from them. You know, just that motivation of, hey, guys, we just had a practice from 3 to 5 o'clock. Do you want to get some shots up from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock?
Right. No, he was that guy.
He's always had a mission. Josh has always been on a plan. He's had his plan to be a Division I coach, I think, since the age he was 5 or 6 years old, and he went to his first basketball game. Josh is the guy you want on your team, and that's proven with him coaching. He's at Georgia Tech right now, right?
Right, yes. It's not amazing. It's not amazing how all you guys found success. Obviously, Miles with what he's doing now with Lakers and Luke, JT
yep.
and his longevity with the NBA, Bibby.
Kerr and Iguodala.
All these guys. When you were playing here, who was the guy that impressed you the most on the court?
For basketball-wise?
Basketball.
I would say Mike was, just because of his natural
he was super good
intuition and ability to be able to handle the ball.
Mm-hmm. He was super good.
Michael Dickerson, just because of his sheer strength and his, you know, the silent assassin. He's the guy that just sits there and he's going to take, you know, have people getting into his face. But as soon as that line where he feels like, it, you know, you're trying to take advantage of the guy, I think we were all like that. You know, I kind of had to get a little bit of that under my skin as the years went on. But Miles was really that leader that, you know, we came in that junior year and we had just lost our last two games, I think.
Cal and Stanford.
Cal and Stanford, yep. We had gone on the road trip. We played tough, but it was just one of those things, just couldn't pull the games out at the end. You know, it's a mathematical anomaly that we got fourth seed in the teams that we played against, and none of the games were easy, but I remember that Coach Olson had a meeting with Miles, and Miles comes in and goes, like, guys, we've got a team here. We've got a JC player in National Player of the Year. We have a blue chip All-American freshman in Bibby. We have Jason Terry and AJ that were this is their first year to really come out, shine, and actually get lots of playing time. We had Miles Simon, but nobody expected any of us. And just the things that he said in the locker room, he's like, guys, we've got to come together, and this is one of our last chances to come out here, and if we can't come in here and lose in the first round of the tournament. It was one of those things that you can't see it before it comes, but
yeah.
It was just the expectations of not having any expectations. You know, we were a young team. Oh, we'll wait till next year. And I think just with the team, you know, we had a food fight the night before the game, and we tell this story all the time because it's probably exactly what defines what we were, is a bunch of kids that had grown up with good families and played basketball all our life, and we're having a food fight the night before the game, and Coach Roz stands up and Coach Olson reaches over, grabs them and says, hey, you know, sit down, let them be kids, let us take the pressure. You know, if they come in here thinking we've got pressure and they can't mess up and they can't do anything wrong, then they're going to mess things up. If they're out here having fun and they're just playing basketball, because, you know, I always tell my kids when I coach them is my time as a coach is at practice and on timeouts. Your job is when we're on the floor. Right. I want you to close out the rest of the world, you know, kind of like, you know, you're in a zone. How do you tap into that? Ignore the parents, ignore the fans. Take what you've learned through these last 5-6 months and apply it out there on the floor, because you guys are out there really with your four other teammates.
Right.
And I think that's just what we did. And to be able to have leaders in Jason Terry and Bibby and bringing the ball up, and Miles just with his experience and, you know, high level basketball IQ, and, you know, just us as, you know, for myself, I always saw myself as a good role player. But you got to have those players, since we had so many shining stars on that team.
No question. I had never heard that story about Miles' speech. What game was that before?
I'm thinking it was pretty much right after we came back from Cal and Stanford.
Oh, okay, because I do remember.
It was one of those things like, guys, we really have a chance. There's nobody out here that can really compete with us. But and I was sitting there thinking, like, man, there's a lot of good teams out here.
Anyway, well, I do remember Phil Johnson's blow up in the locker room after the fact, and I figured, you know, you guys got a lot of pep after a lot of different things that happened. Hey, let me get to the phone line. We have Dave on the line who wants to talk to you real quick, Bennett. Dave, are you there?
Of course.
Yeah, Steve. Hey, thanks for taking the call, Steve. Thanks so much for what you're doing, and being a fellow Aggie alum, really proud of what you're doing.
Hey,
I got
you.
A funny Bennett story. My wife told me, you better not call in, and you better let Bennett finish it out. Bennett, I don't know if you remember, but back in the day when Lou Olson, I think Joseph Blair, did a charity tournament, and it was in the Randolph Complex, and we bid on the foursome. We bid on players, and I remember AJ got all jealous because we wanted Bennett.
That was right after the championship.
We bid it for Bennett, and he ended up playing with us.
Yes.
Well, first of all, I don't know if Bennett remembers that story and all that, but he had a certain companion with him that day, so it was a six-some. So we played golf, and I tell you what, had the most fun I ever have playing golf. Well, on one certain tee box, Steve, if you've ever played golf, if a guy doesn't hit
I remember exactly
drive
what you're talking about.
Further than the women's tee box,
yes,
the guy's got to do a certain something. And my wife told me, you better not finish the story. I'll let Bennett, if he remembers, I'll let him finish the story.
Good.
I actually have a photo of it still somewhere on my computer.
So do we, Bennett. So do we.
Yeah. I was there with the ex-girlfriend. We came down for the Lou Olson golf tournament and stuff. And, you know, we'd already had a few drinks and we're giggling and laughing. And it was a beautiful Tucson morning. And we're going out there and just whiffed the ball. I mean, I made it just nick the top of it, knocked a little divot off the ball, and the thing just trickles 5 feet ahead of me. And everyone's like, oh, let's do it. And, you know, a lot of times the ego of the man's ego can kind of kick in a little bit. So next thing you know, drawers are dropped, and I'm swinging for the fences. I think I hit it. I made sure I made contact with the ball that time.
And you know, Bennett, the reason I wanted to tell this story is this just says the human side of you guys, right? Because obviously when you're in Tucson, people hold you in awe and all that. But I tell you what, we had the greatest time with you, and I just wanted to say
so on my human
again. I know we said it
by me playing
but,
golf.
I don't think we won that day, but we sure had fun.
We didn't even come close, I don't think.
Well, anyway, guys, Steve, thanks for again what you're doing. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you, Dave, and appreciate it. I didn't know you were an Aggie.
Bye,
I guess. Yeah, Bennett. So that's the fun part of it. I don't. Do you have time to stay? Are you busy at work? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm just waiting for I have a little youth basketball program afterwards. And
Okay, let's go to break here for a couple minutes, and we'll come back and talk about some more silly stuff and maybe some of the guys on the team.
From Goodwill of Southern Arizona, we want to say thank you for your continued generosity throughout the year. When you donate, whether it's a bag of clothing or a cash gift, you create education and job opportunities for thousands in our community through Goodwill's 5 youth programs, 5 adult programs, and full-time employment. Visit goodwillsouthernaz.org/donate to make a monetary gift eligible for a tax credit or to find a donation center near you. Thank you, and happy holidays from Goodwill.
It can be difficult taking care of your parents. But what happens when they require a professional level of care? Then it's time to consider the Oasis at Fellowship Square, Tucson. There, your loved ones will find assisted living apartments with all the amenities of home, a customized service plan of care, along with a full calendar of social, cultural, and recreational activities. Call for a free tour and complimentary lunch at 886-5537. Online at fellowshipsquaretucson.org. And happy holidays from everyone at Fellowship Square, Tucson.
See that cute little dog in the pet store window? Chances are it came from a puppy mill, a breeding facility that forces caged, neglected, and often sick dogs to churn out puppy after puppy to be sold for profit. Meanwhile, millions of wonderful, healthy pets end up in animal shelters. This leads to the killing of more than 9,000 by the end of today. But with one simple choice, you can help. Just by deciding to adopt instead of purchase your next pet. Animal shelters are full of amazing pets looking for a home. When you adopt your new best friend, not only are you saving a life, you're taking a stand against puppy mills. When your friends see the smart choice and impact you've made, they adopt their next pet and share with five of their friends, who share with five more. Before long, thousands get involved. Pet stores stop selling dogs from puppy mills, and even more lives are saved. And with your help, we can save them all. Visit bestfriends.org/puppymills to learn more.
Wake Up Tucson with Christy Simone.
Hey, it's Chris from Wake Up Tucson. We're going to do your Christmas Tuesday week with Steve Rivera, Eye on the Ball, CJ Ham, Saguaro Corners, Get to Know Your TPD segment, and Elizabeth Klingler from Turner Classic Movies. Wake Up Tucson, 10:30, trusted local news and talk.
Wake Up Tucson, mornings from 6 to 10 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on the arts.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Eye on the Ball. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. I'm on the phone with Bennett Davison, formerly of the U of A basketball team from 97, 98, those great teams back then. Just maybe a couple more thoughts on some of the players, then we'll get to back your funny stuff off the, off the court. When you play, in order for you guys to get better, you had to have your bench to play really well against you in practice. Did you have that? I mean, Arizona's going through something stuff now that their bench is not that good, so I'm not sure they're getting better as we speak. But you know what I'm saying. You get better in practice.
Yeah, we had, you know, we had, I couldn't say that, you know, the best, I love all these guys, but if you want to talk about, like, practice players, we didn't have our, you know, I'd say the bottom three were Jason Stewart, John Ash, and Josh Passler. Mm-hmm. And they were really out there to be able to guard Jason Terry, Mike Bibby, and Miles Simon for the guards. But we didn't really, and then we had Justin Wessel. He was a freshman. I think he redshirted. And in that time, you know, you think of, okay, well, me and Gene were going against each other, and AJ and Darnell were going against each other. So we, if one of our big guys went down or had a little nagging injury or something, we really didn't have that, you know, fifth person to be able to go out there. I think in practice is a different situation. Everybody knows everybody, the plays that are going to be happening. You know where the picks are going to be coming through. So you have a little bit of that cheating and anticipation of kind of like, and at the same time, you know, when you're guarding against each other every single day, there's times where I'm like, Gene, you want to go like 70% today? He's like, yeah, man, I'm tired. And so you kind of have these little, he's like, all right, let's pretend like we're battling today just so we can kind of conserve that energy. But then that competitiveness comes out, and the coaches, you know, they have years of players going 50%, 60%. So they have ways of drawing that energy and that intensity out of you. Because if you don't want to put it in the practice, then you're not going to get it in the game. And that's what really matters to the players.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, every single day, one of the a funny little stories, you know, all the coaches and everyone's rooting for Josh, and Josh was D'ing Jason, JT up, and Josh just reaches his hand out and stops his crossover, takes off for the fast break, JT trips over his feet, JT gets up, sprints after the guy, and we're like, let's go, Josh, let's go, and he's out there, and he's looking behind him because JT's quick on his heels, And the next thing you know, we're cheering for him, and Josh misses the layup in practice. Where it's like, you do something good, and he finally missed the layup. Things like that are just kind of the, you know, just hilarious.
Well, it's like his claim. His claim to fame is what never losing in McHale or whatever. He was 42-0 when he played. Well, of course, 42-0. You guys were up 40 points every time he was in.
Exactly. That's a good claim to fame. You keep that, Josh.
Right. So at the end of the day, you had Gene. You know, the funny thing about at the end of the day, when you win the title, you need Donnell at the free throw line. You need Gene Edgerson at the free throw line because they're the guys hitting those shots.
Oh, for sure. I mean, Gene was a freshman. He came in, and I was supposed to be some tough junior college player, and he challenged me every single day. Gene is he's one of those guys. He's, you know, big, but he's a big softy, but he is
right.
One of the stronger guys that are out on the floor. And that's what it takes, is that person you're going against every day to push you to make you a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that Gene got his opportunity after I ended up leaving. And that's kind of what, you know, you got to pay your dues before. And, you know, at the time, I just know that throughout that whole season, all the big guys had been really role players. You know, I think at one time during a halftime or the second quarter, I'd missed 4 or 5 free throws in a row or something. And Coach O said, nope, you're going out there shooting free throws during the timeout. So I go out there, and it's just in and out of the rim, in and out. So they're close misses, but then it's those little things at the end of the season where all we need to do is hit 8 free throws, and I think we hit 8 out of our 8 free throws, which was not typical of what our team was known for or the big guys were able to do throughout the year.
Right.
And it was just one of those things like, here's a defining moment that allows us to be able to knock those down and clinch the national championship.
What do you think the impact that AJ had before the Kansas game? You guys were practicing and he shattered a basket, the backboard of the basket. I think he got some cuts on his arm or whatever. He had kind of just been this guy all season, just, you know, this guy. And then he played out of his mind the rest of the way. How do you think that impacted him?
I think it's one of those things. Anyone's ever had an injury or something that played, whether it be high school, whether it be college or competitive level. Mine was, I had a twisted ankle. I had a tendon torn off my ankle, and just the time to be able to recover and build that confidence. Your body may have healed, but you need that time to be able to get it mentally that your ankle's okay. I think AJ had been there for, he was a sophomore. He had just spent a year getting beat up by Ben Davis and Joseph Blair. It was always kind of a tall, skinnier kid that needed that confidence. And I think just, when you do something like breaking a backboard or you do something that...
out of the ordinary, yeah.
There's something that clicks. Yeah, there's a body chemistry or mental thing in your brain that just says, hey, you know what? I am that good. You know, you have many times where you kind of doubt yourself. I think I think I went out to the one car and actually... because I was so upset with myself, I wasn't playing the basketball that I knew I could play. And I went out to the car after a game, I think it was UCLA, and just cried.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man, this is not me. This is not who I am. This is, you know, this is why I came here, and things aren't going your way. But those are the things that make you grow a little bit. I think with AJ, it was that breaking the backboard and just having a, you know, whether it be family in town or having a good roommates, as in myself or JT, and being able to build that internal confidence and saying, hey, now's my time.
Right. I want to talk real quick about that Kansas game, a huge game, obviously, and that was intense. Scott Pollard, Ray for France, you had to defend both of them. But I still say, this is the stupid comment by me, that you won the title in the first round when you had to come back from the depths against South Alabama.
Yeah, Southwest Louisiana, Southwest Alabama? Or
No, South Alabama. And they played a slow style.
Yeah, it was Musselman's, and they slowed the game down, and they took good quality shots, and we were trying to be overly aggressive, and in doing so, they took advantage of it. And that's what the tournament's about. I mean, it's either you get it done or you are done.
Yeah.
And I think it was like those first two games, and I remember being at the was it the Primavera, the fundraiser for Pathways Out of Poverty, that I was just the golf tournament we were down there. And the last time, that was the first time I had watched the final game since we had actually played in the game. So, you know, a lot of players say, oh, I've watched the game. It's like, I haven't. So watching the Kansas game was one of those things. It's like, hey, guys, here we go again. We got nothing to lose. Let's just go out.
Right.
And play. I think that's pretty much, you can talk all you want, but I think it was just one of those things. It's like, hey, guys, you need to leave it out on the floor, and if you need a sub, come out, and we'll get you right back in, but you got to leave it all on the floor.
Right, no, and let me tell you, that's probably the best Kansas team ever, and you had, I think you went against Rafe LaFrenz, a very good player.
Yeah, Rafe LaFrenz, Pollard, Pierce, Jacques Vaughn.
How was that for you? Because you that was a huge moment for you as well.
Yeah, for me it was going out and kind of testing myself against players that I had watched as a junior college player. I'm in California, and well, you know, I'm here in Dallas, and one of the funnier things is I'll come out, go out to some bars and watch the NCAA tournament over the last 3-4 years I've been here in Dallas, and I'll see people with Kansas shirts, and I'll be wearing my Arizona coaching, you know, a polo shirt, and people come up, and he's like, you played at Arizona, right? So, yeah. He's like, I'm going to buy you a beer, but you lost me. You lost me $1,000. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, you knocked us out of the tournament. But we'll get a Kentucky guy because, you know, we're you know, like,
sure,
a couple hours away from all those different universities. And I get people all the time saying, man, I owe you a beer. I don't like you, but I still owe you a beer. So we'll go out and, you know, shoot the S with the guys back and forth. But they enjoy it. It's that's what it's about. You have 4 years to that everybody remembers. I remember being a professional athlete, and you ask any pro athlete, would you go back and play one more year in college for free? And everyone's like, hands down, yes.
Yeah, great
those
times.
Are the best years.
Yeah.
And I tell these high school kids, like, you're applying, go out there and play. Like, this is, you're using high school as a stepping stone to be able to get your education paid for. And, you know, leave it all on the court. This is, you're going to look back at high school and say, man, this is simple, but you're applying for the best job in the world. And that, things get convoluted when you become a professional and money's involved and
sure,
contracts and all that stuff. But the purest form is still college basketball. The highest level, purest form where you don't have any of those, you know, mixings of business, but it's all pleasure and athleticism and just the natural competitive sport.
Right, right. Well, Bennett, I think that's it for us. We're going to go to a break here soon, but I really enjoy talking to you. You know that.
Steve, thank you very much.
We'll have you
next year at the Fantasy.
Yes, yeah. We'll see you again in a few months already. It's already going to creep up
definitely
on us. Thanks a bunch, Bennett. Let's go to a great break, Bob, and come back on the other side to finish the day off. Talking about basketball. What else are we talking about?
Lexus of Tucson announces the newest arrival to its crossover family, the UX Urban Explorer. With a starting MSRP of just $32,000, the UX offers numerous active safety features and Apple CarPlay as standard features. The UX has the best turning radius, highest MPG, and lowest cabin noise of any crossover in its class. Get details and see it now at Lexus of Tucson. Experience amazing. Speedway in Columbus and at the Auto Mall.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized as the number one credit union across all of Arizona by Forbes. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer higher savings rates, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit HughesFCU.org/bestcreditunion. Certain restrictions apply, insured by NCUA.
Being there matters, and your United States Navy protects and defends America on the world's oceans. Around the globe, around the clock, Navy ships, submarines, aircraft, and most importantly, tens of thousands of America's finest young men and women are ready to defend America when piracy threatens global commerce, when disaster strikes, or when called upon by the Commander-in-Chief. Your Navy is there. When it comes to protecting and defending America, being there matters, and America's Navy is already there.
My name is Sean Hoffine, your favorite peace-loving hippie with a pit bull, a ferret, and a love of life, liberty, and faith like few you've ever heard before. It's Blue Collar Radio from the heart. I will be live with you at 1 p.m. right here in the Perfection Auto Works studios at 1030 KVOI every single Sunday after America Armed and Free. We still believe here the fight for freedom is God's fight, and to fight for freedom is to fight alongside God. Pax Domini Tecum, thank you in advance for your valuable time.
Driving means
freedom,
exploration,
fun,
pride,
flexibility,
travel,
protection,
ability,
friendship,
excitement, control, independence.
Distracted driving means
danger,
recklessness,
irresponsible,
chaos,
police,
devastation,
injuries,
tears,
death.
Safe driving means staying alert and staying alive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KBOI. We have our eye on business.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. This is 1030 KBOI. Had a good time talking to Bennett. I always do. A lot of fun, a lot of crazy stuff, and that's just the stuff we know.
Was he that much fun when you got to speak with him years ago?
Oh, yeah. He was. Yeah, he didn't ever knew what he was going to say back in the day. And let me say that we kind of talk about that now with Sean's program. And we don't get to know the guys very well. Because it's kind of sanitized in terms of bringing us to the press conference, bringing them to the press conference. It's, you know, one or two at a time. And in fact, my shows here have been very few recent players and probably won't be many recent players because I really don't know. Maybe TJ McConnell down the road after the basketball season of the NBA. But I don't know many of the guys because they're not here very long. And then when they're here very long, we still don't get to know them all that well.
Are you allowed to contact them in off season, or is that still frowned upon?
No. Once you're done, we can. But once you're done, in fact, I've contacted a couple of guys. I'm hoping to have on. I won't mention names right now, but trying to get them to come on or come in to talk about their experience at U of A. So maybe that'll happen. But let me tell you, back in the day, you're talking 96, 97. JB, who we had on, he played in 96. Corey Williams, who played on that same team, 96. Reggie Gary, who I've had on, played the same era, same time. McMillan, who's been on, he was in the 88 years. Who else? There's been a few, obviously. But that national championship team meant a lot to me, not so much emotionally, but and I'll say this kind of maybe financially. I was able to write my first book from that time. They won the title, and I was asked to do a book on that and the whole year. A lot of fun. And then that's kind of how you get to develop these relationships. And now, like he said, thankfully I still have this. Was when they call them, they say yes.
Yeah.
Otherwise I wouldn't be able to find them, you know, or they'd say, who? What? I don't even know the guy.
So you'll just have grandfathers on in another 10, 20 years.
right. Yeah, I actually joked about that with AJ, right? He says, when he has kids, he's like, yeah, back in 97, I played with this guy named Bibby, but I was the best guy on the team. You know, the story's changed. And, yeah, I had 25 points that night. How can I say this? Like the Steve Kerr says, one night Jordan and I had combined for 62 points. He had 61 and I had one.
And I dunked against Shaq and played with one arm and a broken foot.
Yeah, I got out there and played. But that's how sports is. You know, kind of having a lot of fun. These guys are a lot of fun. Every single one of them from the 97, 98 group, a lot of winning, one nice little title. One disappointment against Utah in the Sweet Elite Eight, but very good guys in their own right, in their own way. He talks about Josh. Josh is now very successful at Georgia Tech.
Mm. It just sounds like a bunch of fun guys.
Yeah, and they love coming back because, you know, this is their town. I would be surprised if they go for a drink or two, that they have to pay for a drink or two.
Right. Because, well, they're like rock stars.
Yeah, you can just say, oh, don't worry about it. I still remember 97 when you won the title. Remember that time, yada, yada.
Did you want to try to give away a pizza?
Yes, we have to come. I knew it.
A slice?
No. 12-inch pizza for Tino's Pizza. They're going crazy for those things.
You know what? You know, I've got an idea only because my phone says not connected.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're
working on them.
What about if somebody, like, tweets you or puts a...
I'm not good with that. I don't like that.
No?
It's a good idea, but I'm not a Twitter guy. I do tweet stuff, but I don't...
Facebook?
Yeah, I Facebook a lot, obviously, but no. You don't want anybody to call real quick? We have, like, 5 minutes?
I don't know. Let me see.
The phone lines might be done?
It says not connected.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's the problem we're having with the phones.
Yeah, phone... I figured she probably figured we were in the end of the show.
Oh, okay, so that we're
unless we were going to try to give away some pizza at the very last minute.
Yeah, yeah, no. God, and that's on me. So tomorrow we'll do a couple of 12-inch pizzas tomorrow.
Ooh.
It's like we did last Friday. Give out people might start calling. I want to hear from people because you have all the stories as well. And obviously, if you've listened to the these shows over the last month and a half or whatever it's been, I'm more of a storyteller and listening to these guys tell their stories rather than the scores and, you know, what's going on. Although we did talk about the UA basketball team and their problems.
You are getting a lot of good stuff for your next book, though, here.
I am.
Any of these news stories to you?
Some of them. Today's one with Miles talking to the team and saying that they had what it took to win. Whether they believed it or not, I don't know. But but let me tell you something. I mean, that's kind of where the stories came out. Miles, after they won the title, and maybe I'll have Miles in the summer or whatever, but he, when they went to go get the rings, you know, to fit for the national title, he had to go and kind of schmooze loot to get them to get the rings that they wanted. I think they were in Australia, and Lute said, you know, what's going on? You know, Miles, what do you need? And he said, you want to talk about the rings? Yeah, we want to talk. Can we do this? We'll do this if we can do this. You know, it was always kind of like a compromise. So Lute said, well, if you promise me to work hard and all that stuff, you'll be able to get this, you know. And they did. I think that's kind of the story. It's a short version, obviously, but
yeah.
Miles told the story to me for one of the other books. But, you know, there's a lot of stories behind the scenes that I don't even know. And that's kind of the stories I love to put in those books.
I would imagine so. What, I'm leaking chocolate, whatever this is. So who do you got later in the week?
I'm going to have Matt Muehlbach come here, I think maybe Wednesday, Thursday. I have John Perlman calling in tomorrow. He's the new general GM at the FC Tucson team.
Fabulous.
I'm gonna have Adia Barnes call on the phone. She's the women's head basketball coach. They're 8-1 right now, and in fact, they play tomorrow night against UTEP. Move their record to possibly 9-1, and probably one of the best starts in UA history at this point. Let me put a little caveat on that.
Okay.
The schedule has not been very tough, so you expect them to win all those games or most of those games, like the men's team.
Got it.
So you understand what I'm saying? So if you play a bunch of cupcakes, you
don't know how your season's necessarily going to be.
Correct. And that's been the case the last few years with the UA women's team.
Yeah, but they're like pretty good.
They're pretty good. The thing about it is, like I say, you don't know how good you're going to be. You don't know how much real depth you have. And then when problems start, see what you're made of emotionally.
So I asked you that before, but I forgot your short answer to is it the athletic director that decides on their season?
No. It's in-house. It's the team, like Sean and his administrative assistant, and it's basketball operations guy, and they try to search out. This is not their fault to a degree. It's just trying to find teams that will come in and play and where do you go to play and things like that. Very rare anymore do you see those big games that Arizona had in the past under Lute, the Dukes, the Michigan States, the North Carolinas. Lute loved those type of games at all times. He'd play them no matter what. And nowadays, you don't see that very often.
You're just looking basically and you're Googling the North Atlantic Cupcake League?
Kind of, to fit those games into the November-December schedule as you prepare for the Pac-12 season. Yeah. And that's what you kind of – the funny thing is I don't blame fans for not going. There's not good quality basketball to see. You know, you wouldn't buy a bag of bad apples, would you?
No, I wouldn't.
Even though they're apples?
You said 11,000 fans at McHale. What does that hold?
14.5.
Oh, all right. Well, that's not too bad.
And we're off with some good music. This is Bob Skaggs, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, great. So I guess we'll listen to you or hear you see you tomorrow, Bob, and they'll listen to me on 1 to 3.
Awesome.
Here on KBOI, 10:30 a.m. Eye on the Ball.